This is the second year we're doing Real to Real Talk. We did it in the summer last year or spring.
I think it was summer last summer.
Yeah, and now we wanted to do it in the fall. The best season.
I have no concept of time.
That's true.
It's flying.
Well, thank you for being on.
Yeah, the Real to Real Talk has been popular.
So. Yeah, we wanted to do it because we don't know people personally that don't use them, but I don't think by a large scale people know all y'all do.
Right.
You know what I mean? They see the TV shows that, yeah. They just see the TV shows where everybody knows exactly what they want. They see two houses and they close the deal within, you know, the next 30 minutes, right before the show ends.
Right.
And so they have no idea what due diligence is. They don't even have an appraiser in the episode. Like, there's nothing. So, you started around the time we started.
What's it been? Timed it perfectly. Little did we know. Hello, pandemic.
Right?
Yeah, for real.
It was like, oh yeah, I'm ready to start my new career coming off of a, you know, almost 15-year retail, corporate world and retail management and regional management. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna start this real estate journey. I was so excited about. Get licensed and ready to go into February. I'm like, I'm starting to shop firms and bam, pandemic hits. Let's close everything down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how it went. Getting the ball rolling. Here's the perfect time to launch.
Yeah.
2 weeks later.
2020 vision, you know, all that. New career, self-employed. Yeah.
And then a wall.
And then,
yeah. No, I remember because I had just started a relationship with another agent and had an inspection with him, and it was like it was the week before things were shutting down, and he goes, "Well, I guess I'm just gonna go do continuing education now."
So, yeah. Fortunately, it's not current, right? Because dang.
Yeah. We somehow got through it.
Yeah. And this is why we don't do video, because I'm like this the whole time. Like, I look like a deer.
Exactly.
The truck's coming.
We're still like, this is for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what has it been like getting launched?
So it's been a little, so, you know, it's been, I'm not starting this career, not old, but I'm not young. Right? I'm in my 40s.
You're an adult.
You know,
you're not a new adult. Yeah.
I'm a new adult, but I'm new to real estate, right?
Yeah.
But it's been interesting because I really want to do it all on my own and really take this journey as like a self-employment journey. And a lot of people encourage you to get on teams in the beginning. And I work for a great firm that's very, you feel like you're part of just a big team. But I mean, and I definitely see the benefit of people getting on teams, you know. However, not being from, you know, not being from Charlotte, but being here for 9 years, but being in the type of position where most of the people I interacted with, I managed, so I couldn't socialize with them, it's been harder and more important to build relationships and quote unquote network with people to kind of get my business started. So it was a slow start. And I mean, I really had to leverage some networking, which a lender got me my first client. And that was really helpful. And then I had a friend, one of my few friends here that I didn't work with, you know, she decided she was gonna buy a new house. And then it kind of rolled from there. And then I hit a wall again, come January 2021. And then I needed to like, again, pick up. So I'm seeing the roller coaster of just self-employment and of real estate. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like being on a treadmill all the time, because if you're not constantly at least walking.
Yes.
Then the next thing is not, the ball's not getting going. Like, you have to keep it going constantly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even when you don't have clients, you have to keep working like you do have clients, you know. So mine is, you know, relationship building more than networking. Is putting myself in positions where I'm building relationships and not so much networking with the same people doing the same thing.
Yeah.
When I get an opportunity, then I'm like, okay, well, out of this opportunity, who can I meet and who might they know, and have that kind of domino effect, which recently really worked in my favor, taking on a showing agent position, which I haven't done that yet. So I did a side, I was like, okay, I'll do this little side hustle, showing agent. And then from there, I was able to meet people where that condo up here in Uptown wasn't maybe their fit for whatever reason. And then I got a lead from it. And then they knew people and things like that. So that domino effect, and then showing them a next property, got me engaged with a property manager that from there, or got me connected with a property manager from there that gave me another lead. So I'm seeing that that's really where it is putting yourself, positioning yourself in places where you're building relationships and going into it with no agenda other than meeting people and the opportunity that may present itself. Instead of these like very, I feel like there's a lot of noise in real estate and a lot of like planned like events or networking. And it's very, I don't know if structured is the right word, but it's not as authentic or
organic.
Organic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people aren't just going to throw those at you without first then getting, I know Sherry, I've worked with her, or I know Sherry, like this girl's like, you know what I mean? Like they have to have that connection with you first. You would never come to mind otherwise.
Yeah. And I think even getting on the phone with someone, because getting on the phone with that listing agent to say, hey, I just showed this, is where she was like, oh, wait, do you show homes? Because I can't make it to an appointment later tonight. Are you able to do a home around the corner from where you're at? You know, like getting on the phone and people just connecting with you based on a conversation, I think is just really important. I think a lot of times, you know, that's another benefit to being older, that I don't have a problem picking up the phone and not always texting everything to everyone.
Right.
Just having a conversation with someone, you can get a vibe through that. And then you're like, I think I might want to work with this person.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
That is an advantage. And I even see it because we're 36. Our birthday's coming.
I think so.
and so like, but even like our age, we're not far apart in age, but people our age and kind of lower are kind of like supremely awkward with picking up the phone. They get like robotic.
Right.
And it's like, dude, like, how are we going to do face to face, man? Like, I don't want to, like, you know?
Yeah. And trust me, I mean, if it's a quick thing, I'm a queen of wanting to text. I don't always want to pick up the phone, but sometimes you just can't get the message across. And you can't, and if you're trying to build relationships and say, I don't know when there might be an opportunity that I'm going to work with this person again, I'd like to know who that is on the other end.
Right.
Even if you can't meet them face to face, just even hearing a voice kind of connects. Like, you see a picture, you heard the voice. Okay.
Getting a feel for the person.
Yeah, honestly. There's inflection. There's timbre. You know, that's important.
There is.
And timbre.
Like when we got together, and like we work with a bunch of agents, but I only think of the ones that I've like met face to face.
Yeah.
Like when we get a client that like it doesn't have representation or needs new representation, I'm thinking of three realtors. Mm-hmm. And not because of like how like their numbers or anything. These are people I talk to all the time, or these are people that I get together with face to face, and that's who I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
you know. So,
and I think we're very similar because we talked about this before, Sarah. How it's like we'll have kind of like, you know, your list of referrals, and we really think about who would be a good fit for that person. So, like, I have my, you know, my lender referrals. I have my inspector. Yeah. You know. All of that, and I'll think, okay, this individual, this client I'm helping, who do I think would be able to relate? Because then it's all, you know what I mean? It just really makes a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I want them to shop around and get the best loan product or get the best price for whatever they're in the market for, home inspection, whatever it may be. But at the same time, I want them to trust who they're working with, and that's important. People work for people and work with people, right? And I pay 50 extra bucks for someone I really trust. Right. So I really think about that. So I like to have a little bit of I like to be able to kind of pick and choose and say, hey, I have a few, but let me point you in the direction of this person first, because I think this is why I think you'll really like this loan officer, this lender. And then just having services to give them, period. Like I have a financial advisor that I really like that I've referred to other like singles that are trying to, you know, that I can relate to financial advisors. Gosh, even down to like hey, a nail girl, like things like that. I mean, like
yeah,
for people coming in, like I really try to like personalize how can I help you in more than just real estate based on conversations that we've had.
Yeah.
So that's really important to me for it to go further, for it to be more than just, you know, realtor finding you a house, bye.
And right.
Your house and it's bye. You know,
that makes them more like, this is now that my realtor actually knows my neighborhood and can tell me what salon to go to, where to get my hair done. Like, it's just more, I feel more at home even just thinking about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really big for me to get kind of in, like, know it's local and say, hey, in this area, there's some good restaurants. There's some, and because it's things I like, right?
Yeah.
Get my nails done, my hair done, my whatever. And then, you know, I just kind of try to personalize everything. And genuinely, it's just because I like to help people and I love that. I love promoting local businesses too. So it just all ties. It's like one big, you know.
Yeah, totally. I get that. That's the one when we started, because I love small business. Like, that's the only reason I wanted to get into commercial.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to like know who's going to come in, you know, like, and get on it.
Yeah.
But we go to, like, I'll send Andrew to, when he does an inspection, he'll go to a local cafe or like bakery. And when they close, we send them that gift card because it's, hey, take a minute.
Yes.
You need a minute. You're about to move and that's not fun. But make sure to get a treat for yourself and in your neighborhood. So it gets them out and explore and gives them a reason to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's a place that we like, typically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's also, I mean, and then you're genuinely building a connection with a business you love and with another person that is going to say, think of you as well. I mean, it's a win-win. But
right. Yeah. There's a few places that Andrew only goes to when he's in South Carolina. So I think with those two places, like, they always see him.
Yeah, yeah. I come in for another gift card and they're like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
You get a lot of gift cards. What do you do? And, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I think that's why we, like, from the jump when we had our first call, I was like, I love you guys. And even just, like, referring you, I'm like, you're going to love them. You know?
Yeah.
Business, da, da, da. Like, and people love that story behind it, too. You know what I mean? I mean, not that there aren't great corporate companies out that we could promote, but people love the story. And I love to hear the story behind things. And I think a lot of people are like that, you know, especially people, you know, that you really love to kind of learn and hear the stories behind why people are and how they got to where they are. So that's, I mean, the type of agent, at least I am. It's very much more than just your typical realtor. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to talk to you again after you sell a house. If they're not calling me or reaching out to me with any questions, I'm checking on them. I'm like, hey, it's been a month, 2 months. What are you doing out there? You know,
you really are above and beyond though.
Yeah. But, and I know when I get, you know,
I love it.
I'll always be able to do that forever, but I'm going to try to be as hands-on and I'm, you know, going to try to stay that way because it's important to me.
Yeah.
It's important to me.
I get that.
Yeah, I was speaking of stories. So what's yours? How did you get into real estate coming out of retail?
So, you know, I was in the beauty industry of retail, so makeup, but I've always been into just styling, period, whether it be fashion, decor, whatever. So I've always loved to look at new homes, to look at magazines, to shop, you know, even if there was an open house we could go to, just always been into that. So when I was thinking about because I knew I wasn't going to stay where I was at forever. The makeup industry has really changed a lot and retail forever is just, it's tough. It's a tough business. And then, you know, how people shop now. So business in the stores, the brick and mortars got really hard. So, I just more and more thought about real estate and I was like, can I do this? Can I go to school? I'm still working. Well, I knew that was going to be hard, but I ended up getting a severance package. And with that, I said, it was right around the time that I was exploring like the whole real estate thing. And I said, this is a sign. I'm going to go. While I'm getting paid for another year and some change, I'm going to start this real estate business. And that's how I transitioned. But it just comes from the love of homes and decor and hoping one day I'll have like a staging business or at least connect staging with listings. is my ultimate goal.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love when agents do that. I only know of like one that does it well.
Yeah.
And it's just so, it's just fascinating. And it, they, yeah, and then staging is like a huge part of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Cool.
I remember it was one of the first inspections we did for you. I say we, meaning Andrew. And you're like, Andrew's going to think I'm crazy. I'm asking him so many questions. And Andrew's like, she's awesome. She asks a lot of questions. And she was measuring for her client.
Right.
I'm like,
right. Yes.
I'm like, she's cool, right? Because I'm like, that's not something realtors do. But here she is.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to be in there. She wouldn't know if a piece of furniture would fit. I was like, look, when I go pop in, I'll measure it for you. No biggie.
Yeah. I love that. Because you don't have to do that. And sometimes people treat it like it's a big deal. You know what I mean? And yeah. Scoff, and you're like, no, I'll do it. And you're happy to do it. And I just love that.
No. And that's how I, that's just me.
Yeah. You know, that.
I'm going to offer. I'm going to offer. And I'm going to do that for anyone. You
yeah,
know,
and it's rare, but it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It's like, no sweat. I want to be there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he likes the questions because being inquisitive is good and makes you better.
Yeah.
You know, to know what to look for.
And I'm going to ask the questions, and I told Andrew, I was like, I'll probably ask you the same question the next time I see you because I'll forget this. I'm trying to take notes, but it's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
It's good. It keeps me on top of things, too.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff I'm really great about is knowing, like, all the stuff you know, Andrew. That's why another reason why I love working with you guys, because you have the patience to like kind of break things down for me. And you know, I'm still learning that kind of stuff. So I'm more of that creative eye, that visual eye, but when it gets down behind the walls and under the crevices, that's where I'm like, help me.
Yeah. I sat in on some of his classes. Right. It is. And I sat in on some of his classes. And I still, like when he talks to me, I'm like, how was the inspection? And he answers me, I'm like, can you break that down like you're talking to David? Because he's four. And because I'm just like, my brain's like everywhere else, you know? And
yeah.
I'm like, just was it good? Are the clients okay? Okay, we're good.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. He's so technical.
Yeah. I bore her very easily. With a lot of that stuff too.
Yeah.
I think it's exciting.
I just want to know if the client's super excited is what I'm asking. I'm asking, are they super happy? Are they excited? Or like, you know, stuff like that. Do we need to check in? Like, are they okay?
Did you kill their dreams?
But yeah.
Well, one of the questions that I don't know that I can ask you is, you know, how have you seen the real estate industry change? Because you're kind of in the middle of.
But it's been like a crazy ass roller coaster.
Yeah.
Yes,
so she's seen the change a bunch.
Right. Yeah. Just
yeah.
Probably within
I would say in even a year. So, you know, funny story. So I'm going into year two. But remember the first 6 or 7 months, we were pretty much locked down. So I didn't hang my license right away. So by the time I hung my license, it was August of 2020. And I closed my first home. Tomorrow's the anniversary of that closing.
Oh, cool.
No, with the referral from the lender. And to this day, I talk to that client and he's first time home buyer, already looking in investment properties. This was supposed to be an investment property. He was going to only live here for a year. He loves it. He's not going anywhere yet, you know?
Nice.
So I would say what we paid and got on that condo now and what it's worth today, what they're going for, it is a good, I would say 40,000 to 50,000 more in that.
Dang.
In, yeah.
That's awesome.
Because I looked at condos in that building and we even got it like $5,000 under listing last year. I know.
Dang.
I don't know how we finagled it, but we did.
You did.
Nice job.
Yeah.
With a strong loan product and a good quick closing. And it helped. He was positioned very well. Like he was solid. And I made it clear to that list. And I had a great agent on the other side. So kudos to the listing agent. He was really nice for my first one. He was a really nice guy to work with.
That's awesome.
But I've been looked at condos in that area for someone else that, and I couldn't even get them in for what they like. That condo was, we got it for 175. I had someone, I was looking for them in the 245 range that we ended up, and you know about this, we ended up in Indian Land, not far, because this condo I sold was in Valentine. So we ended up in Indian Land, Andrew, where you did the inspection. For 245, and it's a great condo, but we couldn't get it right for that price point
That's
comparable in
crazy.
the Valentine area. So I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, multiple offer, there's so many factors that play into why that appraise, I mean,
Oh,
that is,
yeah.
the value is so much higher, and it appraises for so much more in that year. But it's crazy in that year how much I saw, even just with that, my first closing to now in that same area.
Yeah, if you're in a good position, it's phenomenal. It's hard to sell and because of the rates, like I think, but you have to be in a good position,
You have
so.
to be in a good position. That's so true. Because I just talked to a client yesterday, actually. She's based out of Winston. She's kind of going back and forth whether she wants to sell or not. But she's like, yeah, I can make a good profit, but where am I going? Like, where am I going where I can qualify? Am I, if I'm not sure where I want to stay permanently. So like we were just talking through all the factors, and right now for her, it doesn't make sense. She's not in a rush. She doesn't have to move. It would just be for a profit. And then she's not even sure if she's, because she was thinking about moving to Charlotte. And then instead, her boyfriend's actually going to rent here. But she was, as we're going through this whole renting process with her, she's like, well, what about my home in Winston? How much is that worth? And I'm like doing the research for her on all of that, getting her connected with a Winston realtor. And, you know, we were talking about it yesterday, and she's like, yeah, I mean, I could make a pretty good profit here, but is it worth it? Because what am I going to buy if I'm not really upgrading, and Charlotte's more expensive? And, you know, we're just kind of going through all the factors. And I mean, I don't have, again, authenticity, right? I don't know if it really makes sense for you right now. Unless you knew you were going to move in and maybe save money and rent for a minute, or you knew you were going to move in and you were buying a house with somebody else right now. But if it's, you're just going to do the same thing here for any more money, it might not be worth it just yet.
Yeah, and it's a lot of unnecessary stress. Yeah, for sure.
So.
Yeah, because we were thinking like a year ago, I was like, we flirted with the idea for like a week. Maybe not so long for you. I
No,
did
no.
for like a week. I gave it a week's worth of thought, and I was like, it would be really great to have that money in savings. But then where are we going to go? Because I super love where we live. And then to get the same amount of house and land, I'm like, yeah, it would be so dumb for us to. Yeah, no. So, but if we had like maybe 50 grand more in the bank account, it wouldn't have been such a bad idea.
And that was the other piece with her, like what she has saved, and she's a little bit of debt, and it made more sense for her to just pay down her debt a little bit more, qualify for even higher, and then sell in later. And she's like, and now I don't know in a year if it's going to be worth the same. And I said, that's the thing. But if you,
That's everything.
that's everything, right? But the other thing is, if you don't know for sure you're going to be moving in a year, you might be able to sit there for another 2 years, you know, 3 years, who knows? So again, it's going to come up and down.
But yeah, but yeah. But yeah, so we decided not
It
to.
is time to sell and buy for sure, but I'm not going to tell, it's not always great for everyone. And I think that's important. As much as we put out, and I'm guilty of putting the posts out there, like, it's the time to sell, it's the time to buy.
Yeah, but you took the time to do that with her.
But I'm also
That's
going to
every,
personalize it.
Because that's true. That is true for somebody in that position. It is an excellent time. But yeah, like I said, I'm like 50 grand more, I would have totally done it. Because we have to, because we don't use the credit tool, so like we don't like have that to like our advantage. We have to purchase as investors. So we need, because we don't have a credit score, we need 20% down and manual underwriting. So like it's like, okay. That would be bad. That would be stressful.
And I'm
We'd end
firm.
up spending so
Everything happens
much.
for a reason, and how it's supposed to be. And like, so that's the other type of, I mean, I'm a realist, but I'm also very much a believer in like there's a reason why things happen. So I think, you know, I keep my, like, I have a client right now, and we're at a tough price point. 215.
Oh, that's really hard.
Yeah,
There's like
she's
no
willing to
one
go
for
on the outskirts, but and she
it.
has time. Like she had a re she wasn't pre-approved in time to renew her lease, and she's being really patient. But we're looking, you know, and I'm like, this is a good thing. We're both on the same mindset. What's meant to be for you is out here, and we'll find it when it's ready. And we also have until next August. Like, yeah,
Right.
would you want it sooner? And you're willing to break a lease, which is great that you're giving us options. Like, hey, I could leave. I could if we found something now, I'm willing to break the lease. She does have the reserves to do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're at a tough price point, and she doesn't want just anything, you know, because she plans on living there, maybe even forever. She's single, divorced, say in her 50s, you know.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna find her something nice because it could be her
Yeah.
forever, and it
And
probably
the plus
no
on the
one
outs.
is that.
Yeah. What was that again? Because something beeped.
Oh, I was just saying she is going into it that this could possibly be her forever home. She's in her 50s, a divorcee, and she hasn't owned since she's been divorced. So, you know, she wants to find the right home, and she doesn't want to continue to live in this apartment, but she has until August. So we have the time, but we've been striking out finding, you know, what we
Yeah.
want in that price point, and then we do see something, it's snatched up right away.
It's such endurance being a realtor, dude. Endurance and patience. It's just because you're going on that emotional ride with them all the
Yeah,
time. It's
all the
always somebody.
time. Yeah.
And yeah, but the cool thing is, like on the outskirts, they're going to be coming up next. Like, I see those prices increasing pretty significantly right outside of Charlotte, like
Yes.
absurdly fast. Like, and then I've seen, like, since I've lived here.
Oh my gosh,
So.
yeah, because the median, I mean, it's in like the mid threes.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
insane.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that a year ago. It's just nuts. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of nuts, the for sale by owner and buying without representation. Some people may argue, hey, you know, this will save me money, or, you know, I do this because we live very much in a DIY kind of culture. So what would you say, you know, to the people that, hey, how hard can it be? I think I'm going to sell my own house, or I'm just going to go out and buy a house on my own.
Right. Well, for the on the sales side, and I'll be honest, I haven't had any listings yet, but just being that buyer that's calling up these coming soons, and as soon as I see something, I can't imagine being an owner getting those calls nonstop and those text messages nonstop about can I come to show your house, and you don't have a way to like have it automated in a system like showing time. Because
Right.
the realtors, I can even tell, because I was making that call and text this morning on something that has an open house on Saturdays. I'm coming soon status comes off the market tomorrow, but I couldn't book anything at showing time. It pops up, call the listing agent. So I'm calling the listing agent, like, hey, do I have to wait till Saturday or can I get in here on showing time or book for you for Friday? He's like, no, unfortunately, not available Saturday. Leaves me with that. I'm like, okay, before open house on Saturday? Or do I have to wait until the open house at 1 o'clock? And he's like, oh, you can see it on the morning. Okay, can I book that through you? Or do I have to book through showing time?
Right.
So if millions, you know, how many realtors are even saying that to him? Because again, it's in this aggressive, this price point that is very much a lot of people are approved for, and it's a good looking property for that price point. So I can't imagine being someone that isn't used to navigating through that on my own. It doesn't have the experience. So on the for sale by owner, just even the appointments alone, managing that. If you have a
Yeah.
property, and do you understand how to stage it so that people come in if it is an older home and people want it still, right? Because there's a lot of HGTV buyers out here that are expecting to see something when they walk into.
And some people cannot see past paint color, let alone a kitchen table or too much toys or whatever. Like,
Right,
they just
right.
don't get it.
They don't get it. So I think there's a lot of things that people wouldn't consider that they could use that advice from a professional.
Yeah, that delegation. And
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the fact that we live in a culture where people find it very uncomfortable to talk on the phone.
Yes.
You're going to have people very, very persistently inundate you, call you,
Very.
text you, persistent and some aggressive even. I'm like, come on.
And dealing with other realtors and their jargon. So
Yeah,
now
that's what I
realtors calling you
mean.
as, yeah. So not only do
Realtors
you
are
have people
persistent.
trying to buy on their own, you're more
Yeah.
so you have all these realtors that are very assertive
Yeah, and they're not going to
calling
take no for an answer.
No.
Because they're doing the best they can for their client, and man, I can't imagine the headache of not having.
Yeah. And then on the buying end, I would say more than not, you find people with no representation going into new construction more than into existing properties, because half the time they can't even get into a lot of the existing properties without a realtor, right, to let them in. And there's so many reasons. Like, my second sale was with a friend of mine who bought a new home, and even just the questions I was asking, she's like, I would have never thought to ask for them to include that. I would have thought that was automatic, and I would have thought I already had it and been disappointed when I got to the table that blinds weren't included or the fridge wasn't included or something. Right. You know? And then even negotiating that there was even wiggle room. They think this is the set price of this new home. I can't even negotiate it down. And we were able to negotiate that down as well, because I was able to tell her it's been on the market for such and such days. They have this many other homes and models like this on the market right now. I think if they is, you know, they're going to want to close it before the end of this month, we can guarantee them a closing before the end of the year and put it under contract before the end of the month. That looks good for them. Like, let's negotiate this price down. So things like that, that you just don't even think of. And I think back to when I bought a condo in Maryland, gosh, back in 04, I went in without representation. Oh my God. If I would have known half the thing, a third of the things that I know now.
Yeah.
I would have been in such a better place.
Right.
You know, even when I went to sell it, the things that I know now, not even having a chance to have listed a property yet. I'm like, man. And I had she was a nice listing agent, but I don't think she did all she could have done. And knowing now, I probably would have said, you know, let's cut ties and gotten another listing agent when that was time to sell that condo, because it took way longer. It didn't end the way I wanted it to end. We'll just put it that way.
yeah. And that's a really good, so that's great that you know from like firsthand experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because in our experience, the agents, like, I've lived in different states, so every time I've worked with someone, they've saved me a ton and made me more money.
And that's
to where I didn't even see the mathematical difference. Like, at the end, yes, I gave them 6%, and they gave me 15% more like than I thought. You know what I mean?
I think getting them to see that bigger picture like that, because they get so caught up on the 6% that they're not seeing that you're really making more. And even just, you can't, the stress level, you can't put a price on that.
No.
Right.
Because my God, I think after 10 years of being a realtor that they'd need like an honorary doctorate from Duke in like counseling because, or ministry or something. Like, they need an honorary certificate in dealing with all the emotions, because it's not even an exaggeration. Like, it's just nuts. No. Especially in this market.
Yes. And going back to what you said about like getting into real estate, Andrew, for me, I think that's made it an easier transition coming from retail, where the customer is always right, and I've dealt with so many personalities, and then being on a managerial level and dealing with creative makeup artists, you know, artistic people that are very emotional, and this is their pride and joy, this makeup artistry, but we're also trying to sell a product and run a business. Like, so talk about emotions and different personalities and the ups and downs. I've been doing this for years. So the people piece I got down, the sales.
Yeah, nothing new for you.
It's the real estate, but that's the easy stuff to learn. That's the non-emotional stuff to learn, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
It's the people. I think if a realtor is good with people, they're going to be a fantastic agent. It's just, it's a social, it's a people business.
Yeah.
And other agents that I've talked to that are going to be moving on or have probably moved on already, one of the things that they said that they didn't realize when they got into it is how much you're dealing with people. And
that's most of it.
Yeah. I was having a conversation with one a while back that was saying, I thought this was going to be more transactional, but no, this is a lot more relational. And so, you know, talked to one guy that he's going to go more towards the commercial side. And the other guy was kind of thinking different career altogether.
and lenders that have crossed over from being realtors to lenders, because they're like, it just wasn't for me. There's so much emotion and it's just too, it's too personal.
Yes.
You know? And I get it. It's not for everyone.
Yeah. Like, you're literally walking through someone, you're walking them through the transaction. You're not, you are performing the transaction, but you have somebody's hand you're holding.
Yeah.
You're guiding them.
Yeah.
That's people.
And I think, you know, having a, what I call like a servant heart, is that's why what makes it hard for me is the let go at the end, where I'm like, I spent all this time with you. We've built this connection. We've screamed together. We've been through the happy times and the highs and the lows. And then we're at the end and, you know, it's this happy moment. And I'm like, but I want to know how the rest of the story goes.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm still like, and I believe in being someone's realtor for life. Even if they move out of state, who can I connect you with where you feel so, you know, you feel good with them as well? Because we're not talking about cheap purchases here. These are major purchases.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for most people, this is the biggest purchase.
Yep. Exactly. Absolutely.
It's a lot. It's awesome, though.
It is.
It's a beautiful process when you have a servant heart. I call it servant leadership.
I love that.
You're leading and guiding. You're literally the boss of the situation.
Yes.
And you're serving them. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be both.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to take that one.
It's not trademarked. You can have it. But yeah, like that's really what it is. Yeah, because like, if you're going to do anything well, you're going to be giving it to people. You know what I mean? Even if they're paying for it, like you're giving your time and at the end they're paying for it, but you're giving the whole time because you need to provide them with something and you're providing them with a ton. Right. And so when we come in, we're providing them with the service of the inspection, but really the peace of mind, the here's the house, it's gonna have something but it's okay, so here's the solution, so we're providing with them with that. And so it's just like and being available to them, like you said, it's like for life, really. Like it's relationship.
It's and a so relationship. I went back to, I believe it's all about relationship building and making relationships. And you know, I try not to use the word networking as much as I use about relation, like I'm out here relationship building.
Because they're gonna need a referral, like they're gonna need an electrician or a plumber, and here's people we like and use, you know what I mean? Like
And I think you guys are very much like me. Once I attach my name to something, if I refer you, my name's attached to that referral, so you better be good. You know, because I'll be quick to be like,
Yeah, we have learned that we need to not only vet the employees, like the worker, we need to vet the staff,
right?
Like even the person answering the call, like we so now it's like super because like if our name's attached to it and if you're remotely rude or you don't answer somebody's call, you're making me look complacent and rude, so can't work with you anymore. Like I don't care how good your technician is. Everybody on staff has to be on point.
The company gets the reputation, not Andrew Sarah, right? It's the whole company gets the reputation. So
when we were getting back up, we have to have a backup termite inspector because ours doesn't have as wide of a scope as we do. So as we were calling around, I finally found one that I'm like, I'm going to use you no matter what. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care how much you're charging. Like, whatever. Because, like, I got to the receptionist and she was able to answer questions that I had that I was expecting to talk to a manager. Like, I even asked for one. Like, I'm like, hey, I know, like, you do scheduling, but I have questions more technical. And she's like, I could take care of that. I'm like, really? And she answered everything. And I was like, yep.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you charge. Yeah. Let's do this. Like,
Yeah.
And she, yeah.
Yeah, it's been good.
It's been great.
Awesome.
Anyway, yeah.
Well, Sherry, this has been great getting to know you more. And where can people go if they want to learn more about what you do Actually, I think Sarah has something to interject first.
No, you go ahead. I just want to ask if there's anything we didn't, you know, if there's anything we didn't touch on that you want to talk about. But
no, I mean, I don't think so. And I hope, you know, I could provide some type of information from a newbie over here. Newbie, like I said, new to the real estate world, but not new to business and sales and people.
Not new to people.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Plenty of value there for sure.
Thank you. And yes, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook, Sherry Wagman Realtor. I keep it easy. Not hard to find me. And my website, Sherry Wagman at CostelloREI.com.
And we will link all of that in the show notes.
Yes, we will.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.